Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
Good morning, everyone.
First of all, I'd say that it sort of was thrust upon me. And I did think I was going to get scot-free because you were starting to preach. So there was a tiny part of me thinking I was going to get away with it today, but maybe not. But my message is about dwelling and abiding, and it's based off of Psalm 91. But before I start, I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for helping me in this moment. And I thank you that you will speak through me and make me want to say what you want me to say. And just help me in this moment. Amen. So it's about dwelling and abiding. And it's based off of Psalm 91, mainly the first verse, but there's a couple more verses in it. And then after, I'm going to open it up to the church about a moment where you felt God has protected you. So I'm giving you a chance to think so then I can open up to people. So if you could put the verse on the screen, please, Jess. So it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So to put it into simpler terms, to summarise it, it's saying that he who seeks God and spends time with God, like praying, worshipping or volunteering, they'll be in God's surrounding presence. So for me, the key two words in that verse is dwelling and abiding. They're quite powerful words. And so I looked up in the English dictionary, and to dwell is to live in or a specified place. And then to abide is to accept or act in accordance with. And then I looked into the biblical definition of abiding as well. And that is to remain stable or in a fixed state. So putting it all together, how I see the difference between dwelling and abiding is to dwell, you're almost dwelling in a house. And then abiding, you'd be like abiding in the house with your parents or family members or whoever you live with. You can dwell in the house with your parents, but you can only abide in the home. And then when you change this or you stop abiding with the people that you're living in, that might cause friction and things may get rough and you might not see eye to eye with your parents and like you might have different views. And with that, you may lose your dwelling place or your house and like you get kicked out or, yeah. And how I see it is the same with God. If you're not seeing eye to eye with him and spending time with him, then things may get rough and there'll be like rough patches and you might lose them altogether because you just don't see it the same way as God. And you can be dwelling in the presence, but you might not be living or abiding in the word of God. So do you see Living Waters as your spiritual house or your spiritual home?
Yes.
Do you see Living Waters as your house where you're there just for the sake of it, or you're there and you see it as your spiritual home where you're abiding with God and drawing nearer to him?
Yes.
Because you can be dwelling here, but do you really feel like abiding here?
Come on.
So when we start to abide with him, that's when you start to see the effects and fruits of God. Yeah. And that spending time with God will see your life transformed and have that protection go through with you to the toughest of times. So if you carry on reading through Psalm 91, then you see in verse 11, it says, He shall give his angels charge over you, which means he's given his own angels and put them aside to keep us protected. And they'll be there no matter what, no matter what time, where. And so reading all this, we should never have any doubt over God.
Amen.
And yet we still do, and maybe we should start thinking differently about that.
Amen.
Because there's nothing that can defeat God, yet we still have all this, like all the worries and stuff. So if we put him, we should be starting to think differently and always put God first, because it says in the Bible that he will protect us no matter what. So when I was looking through Psalm 91 and sort of researching it, I found these two stories which were like really powerful. And so the first one was about this, about Vietnam War, and there was this commander in the Vietnam War, and he made everyone who was under him read Psalm 91. And they did that every day throughout the whole war. And then at the end of the war, when it had finished, they didn't have one anyone under him injured. And then, so the other story was to do with World War II. And there's a town in Texas called Seadrift. So everyone who was part of the war, so all the men that went out into war, they had all the women, they'd go and pray Psalm 91 over their like husbands. And in the end of the war, all the men returned safely. There was no missing in action or killed in action.
Amen. Come on.
So they all returned safely, and this shows the power that the word has and that it brings. So like it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So I'd like to ask the question now of, have there been ever been any moments where you've felt like God has protected you? As you can see, it's quite a powerful moment that we had at youth, so I wanted to share it to everyone else. So I'd like to open it up to everyone else now to see if they've had any moments where they felt like God's protected them, because like, I didn't know what Oliver had gone through, but it like helps all of us.
It's a long time ago now, but when my husband and I were on Logos 1 on the missionary ship, and we were out in Japan, and we were alongside the quay, and the typhoon warning came. Well, the most dangerous place to be is alongside the quayside. And so we went to a night of prayer and said, Lord, what do we do? And so we took out to sea, because actually it's safer out at sea. And the Lord took us, and we prayed and said, Lord, just help us to be where you want us to be. And the eye of the typhoon was right where we were anchored out at sea. And in the eye of the typhoon is absolute perfect, perfect calm. And to us, it was a lesson that when you obey God, when you listen to God, he will protect you and he will keep you in the eye of the storm, and he will be there with you all the way.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, so I've seen the presence of God in my life, that he will protect you as long as you abide in him, like what you have said. It was just moments before I wanted to travel here to the UK. So I'm Zimbabwean nationality, and then I was still in South Africa. So I was working in South Africa. So I had already resigned from my workplace, preparing to come here. All of a sudden, COVID hit me. Struck the whole family, my husband and my two children. Trust me, I'd finished all the interviews, everything. I'd, I was well prepared, all my tickets bought. And you know that time of COVID, you couldn't travel if you still had COVID. I prayed, I did everything, I lost taste of everything. I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything. The only thing I could do was to wake up, try to bathe, and just lie on the couch. That was all I could do. But I kept all my trust in God.
Amen.
Until one day I said, what else can I do? I've tried everything. I went to the doctor like chased me away like, I do not want to tell you this, but you are on the road to death. You can die at any time. That's what the doctor told me. My temperature was around 40 or anyway. I struggled even to take myself to the GP. So all that I'm saying, like within the last week, I just remembered one man of God, and I just called him. He prayed for me. He said, do you believe in God? I told him about the journey that was like way ahead of me. So I said, yes, I do believe in God. He just prayed for me. He said, kneel down. After that, he said, try to run. I was like, is he mad? I'm telling him, I can't move. But all of a sudden, I just said, let me exercise this faith. I saw myself running. In the middle of the night, I had test back. I ate my food. I finished. I saw the goodness of the Lord. In 3 days' time, I went for my test. It was negative. I was always asking myself, how am I going to move my bag at the airport? They're going to say I can't. But all of a sudden, everything changed, and I didn't change my tickets and everything. All the time, when I just think of the goodness of God, I know that when you dwell in Him, everything is possible. Amen. Thank you.
Praise the Lord, everyone.
Amen.
I'll just try to be really quick. I just want to touch on something that Ben says. Such a powerful word, Ben. That really is. And it's about the house. Now, Ben has stated that the house is where we are or whatever, and where God is. But we are a house. Each and every one of us is a house. And God is a spirit. Jesus is a spirit to a one. But that spirit has got to have a house to live in. And that is us, the flesh. And our God needs us so that He can live and He can do marvelous things. Without us, God can't do His work. And without each and every one of us, we can't do what God wants to do without having that dwelling place. Now, that dwelling place that we live in and where we go, that is us as individual being wherever, and that house, not just when we're in our parents' house or wherever, but we're carrying that house. So therefore, God is everywhere where we are. So I just want to encourage Ben and what he says and how powerful that is. And we ourselves have got to believe that we are a house that God lives in. And that is powerful. I have been in the presence of where God is to see somebody dying in front of me and is calling on God, me being the house that he was able to work and do what he needed to do. So I just want to thank Ben and thank my God for living in me and me being the house. In Jesus' name, thank you.
Yes, God is faithful. We were in the car going along the motorway, and this driver came from right over the other side of the road and took us out, basically. We spun round several times, faced the oncoming traffic. Pete was white, he was driving, and I said to him, well done, love, for driving it into the curb. He was white, and he said, no, Lynn, you don't understand. That wasn't me. There was an angel on my shoulder, and he was turning the wheel. God is faithful. even though I'd had a check in my spirit before we started out not to do the journey, I stupidly thought that if I wasn't driving, it would be all right. But I said to Pete, will you drive? And, you know, always listen to the prompting of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We did two more, and then, yeah.
Hello, everybody. It was on the 18th of May last year. My daughter was very serious in hospital with COVID. She was in intensive care for a month in the induced coma. So on the 18th of May, we were called, the whole family, to come and say goodbye to her. It was very painful. She was in hospital for 6 months. And then I called Jean and Stan, and I said, we've been called to say goodbye to my daughter. It was painful. People came from Southend, from Canada, to come and say goodbye to my daughter. So Jean and Stan contacted Pastor Tim and Pastor Tony and say, this is the situation. So they prayed and prayed and prayed. And until today, my daughter is there and she's walking. And I just want to give glory to the Lord that... She used to be on 100% oxygen, which was being given to her. And then the doctor said her lungs are already scarred and they cannot function. The kidneys cannot function. But I still went to Tim and to Jean and Stan and Pastor, and they prayed with the other team here who were helping to pray. Thank you very much. Now she can breathe without oxygen. Her lungs are perfect. And we just give glory to God. So God can do impossible things. Thank you very much.
There's one over here. Mm. Just...
Hi, everybody. How many people remember things that happened to them when they were a child? Well, I was a child, I don't know what age I was, maybe about 8, maybe 10, and I was always one for wandering away, and my mother used to say, stop wandering away, Catherine, play in the street where you're supposed to, and we stayed in the heart of the city, so it was a really busy place, so I was wandering away, looking for my school pal, and away into the street where I really didn't know where I was going. And I was walking up and down this close, a close enters into apartments, which we call a close in tenements. And every close I went up, 3 flights, looking for her, and she didn't live there. And I went to the next close and the next one. And then this man followed me in, and he grabbed hold of me, and I was terrified. And then this man in a black suit turned up, and he said, leave her alone. And I ran, and that man disappeared. And years and years later, the Lord said, the man in the black suit was your angel.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So obviously hearing from all of those is really powerful. So that's why I wanted to open up to the church. But there was one on the live stream that I'd like to quickly read out, and it's from Don Wickens, and so it says, years ago I was hauling 20 tons of mixed petroleum in a tanker. I was on M25 North London at about 2 a.m. I fell asleep at the wheel, and I remember waking up as I was being physically shaken, and the shaking continued until I was wide awake. I'd gone right across the carriageway. It's a miracle I hadn't hit anything. If I had, I would have gone up like a bomb. I was saved. So hearing all of that, there should be no reason why we doubt God will help us and protect us, but we do, because we still feel there are moments when God could have done something to help us. The same thing happened in the Bible when Lazarus died, and so Mary and Martha went over to Jesus and said, why did you not come? If you were there, then you could have healed him. Jesus turned and replied and said, well, I know that even now God will give you whatever you want. So God will meet you where you are, But before he can meet you where you are and heal your wounds, you have to go to him. You have to put this effort in to draw nearer to him as he's waiting for you. It's just that you need to get to him. Which goes back to the start of Psalm 91, which says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty." So have you got a need, or are you struggling? Because God is near. You just need to put your effort in and stay there so that he may clean up those wounds and heal them. Because it takes time to heal. So you must stay in that place, as if you leave those wounds, they could stop healing and get infected and get worse. So that's why you need to get to God and stay there so that he may heal them all. So to conclude my message, to have God's protection and help, we need to dwell and abide with him and draw nearer to him. It's simple, yet we still find ourselves doing other things instead of spending just 10 minutes with God and drawing nearer to him in that abiding place. So yeah, thanks.